Well, hey, folks, this is Chris Brown, and I cannot encourage you enough to make a plan for your money and learn what the Bible has to say about money when you order Financial Peace University with a copy of the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. Get this incredible deal for only $99 when you use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces. Check it all out at stewardship.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are so honored that you are tuning in today. We've got a great treat for you. I've got a great guest, good friend of mine, a great friend to Ramsey Solutions, and I know that today you will be blessed. Before we start, I do want to make sure that you know about an incredible deal at stewardship.com. You can order Financial Peace University today and receive the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey also for only $99 when you use the code, don't miss this, Chris Brown with no spaces. Use the code Chris Brown with no spaces and you get both of those things together. So visit stewardship.com for all the details. And while you're there, check out all those life-changing events that are coming your way. When I look at them all on one, you know, on one screen, it's a little overwhelming. We're going to be in cities all over the country all spring and in the fall. So make sure you check that out. Tickets are going fast, and you want to check out stewardship.com. Now, let me tell you about our guest today. Many of you know him. His name is John O'Leary. And when John was 9 years old, he suffered burns on his entire body, 100% of his body, and he was expected to die. And now, he's an inspirational speaker and an author, teaching more than 50,000 people around the world each year and how to truly live this life. His clients include Lego. Many of you might be playing with Legos right now. Southwest Airlines, Enterprise, Rent-A-Car, and more. His first book, which is what we're going to talk about today, is called On Fire. Seven Choices to Ignite a Radically Inspired Life. Let me repeat that. On Fire. Seven Choices to Ignite a Radically Inspired Life. And it released just last week on March 15th of 2016. And of course, he's also a proud husband and a father of four, and resides in St. Louis. But very inspiring guy, and I can't wait to dig into his story. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Chris, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You know, John has spoke at our devotionals here at Ramsey Solutions. Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday morning, we have devotionals here and shared his story, and I was captivated by it. And I was thinking, you know, our stewardship, our true stewardship community needs to hear this story because, John, what you've done is you've had a major, and I don't even know, it's impossible to overstate this, but a major curveball thrown in your life that none of us can relate to. And you've chosen to steward that circumstance. You've chosen to steward your story for God's glory, and it's super powerful. Now, this book that you wrote, it's got a really powerful statement. It's what it begins with. You say that if you could go back in time, back to the day of the fire, you'd do it all again. And of course, that's made you who you are.
Right.
Now, walk us through what actually happened. Like, what happened? And take some time on this, because I really want people to understand this was a pretty traumatic event.
Right. And first, Chris, just thank you again for the opportunity and the platform. The curveball that I'm about to share, I think, yeah, it's different. I would doubt that most of your listeners have been burned on 100% of their body or the other physical challenges that I've been through. But what is not unique to me, it's true for all of us, is we all get these curveballs. We all have challenges with our children if we're parents, and we have challenges financially. It's one of the reasons why we're listening, I think, today. We got challenges in our health and in our community and our lives and in the global marketplace. Brokenness, sinful nature we're born into. So it's something I think we all can identify with. The specific biggest challenge of my life, though, was at age 9. I had seen a couple little guys in my neighborhood playing with fire and gasoline, and at that age, and probably at just about every age, monkey see, monkey do, I figured if they could do it, so could I. So on a Saturday morning with my mom and dad out, I walked into the garage, I lit a piece of cardboard on fire, came over to a 5-gallon container of gasoline, bent down next to it, tried to pour a tiny bit of gasoline on top of the flame, and before the liquid even came out, the fumes, of course, the stuff you don't see, comes out, grabs the flame, pulls it back into the container, creates a massive explosion, splits the can in two, picks me up, and then, Chris, it launches me 20 feet against the far side of the garage. It was a moment that forever changed my life.
Golly.
So, you know, I'll ask the pop question to your listeners and to you, but when we were all little, we were taught and trained what to do when we're on fire. And what are we all supposed to do when we're on fire? You know, stop, drop, and roll.
Yes.
Easy. But what do you really do when you're on fire?
Right.
And I think for most of us, Chris, you know, you run, man. Mm-hmm. And we could riff on this for a while, but I think we train in our heads. That's where all the training takes place. Financially, sometimes spiritually, in marriages and relationships, sales training. It's all head knowledge. But where we can actually do something with it is in our hearts. Part of my mission in life is to make sure that what people know is ultimately connected to their hearts so they can take action mm-hmm. to see it lived out, whether it's around stewardship or anything else. So that day, my head knowledge had not been connected down to my heart. So I got scared. I panicked. I'm surrounded by flames. I'm covered in gasoline. So I ran. I ran for my life through the garage flames, back into my mom and dad's house, through the kitchen and into the family room and into the front hall. I stood on top of a rug just screaming and burning, begging and praying for a hero. And I'll take anybody. I'll take anybody, God. And then I see my brother Jim. And, you know, you talk about stewardship, utilizing God's gifts in his perfect way for his perfect purposes. Mm-hmm. This is Jim's moment as a 17-year-old boy to change and to shine, to become a much better version of himself than he'd been before that. What he did that morning was he came up the steps, he ran over to me, he beat down the flames for 2.5 minutes. Every time he's swinging into the flames with a little rug, he's burning himself. And yet that day, I mean, it's not about him. And I think the beauty of stewardship, ultimately, in any way you want to apply stewardship, is it's not about us.
Yeah.
But it can happen unless we apply ourselves. So Jim applied himself in a radical way. It changed his life. It changed mine. He saved me. He wrapped me in the rug, carried me outside, threw me on the snow-covered ground, and jumped on top of me, rolled around, gave me a chance.
Well, now you are at the tender age of 30, right?
You mean today I'm at the tender age of 38 and getting older by the moment?
Well, we're here years later, and
yes.
Walk us through what recovery's been like.
So yeah, that's a long answer, because recovery is both emotional and but spiritual, and then there's a physical component. Mm-hmm. So starting with the easiest of those, the first part of recovery is physical.
Yeah,
you got to somehow survive burns that have taken 100% of your skin off of the body. Mm-hmm. Like this is, according to science in 1987, impossible to survive. But we had a strong faith. I think that's critical. We had a great family system. I think that's really important. We had a beautiful community, and we had a wonderful staff. And you put all those things together, and the miracle came to pass. I spent 5 months in hospital, a couple years afterwards in surgery and therapy, going through skin grafts and releases, and just the works, recovering physically. Mm-hmm. But then even when you get out of the wheelchair and you step back into the classroom and you get back into life, man, you still got to look at that reflection. And that's painful. And then you still got to reconcile, man, why would God do this to me? Why would he put us through this horrible experience? And you got to somehow make sense out of that. So all this is part of the recovery that has led to joyfulness mm-hmm. and surrender and peace and great vibrancy in my life today. So it has been a journey, but it has been a worthy one.
Yeah. Now, your parents, they wrote about this story in a book published about 10 years ago, Overwhelming Odds.
Yes.
What was it about Overwhelming Odds that moved you to speak out?
Yeah, and Chris, it's a great question. And I I appreciate you doing a little bit of legwork and really knowing the background of our story. Mm-hmm. So as a family, you know, when you go through something terrible in life, I don't think a whole lot of folks want to talk about it afterwards, mm-hmm. whether it's going through a divorce or bankruptcy or whatever the big struggle is. Most of us aren't longing to get back to the time and the place where we can kind of talk about that story. So as a family, we never talked about little John being burned or what it was like to lose the house, or for my siblings, because gosh, they have their story. What's it like to watch their brother burn or to lose their mom and dad for 5 months when they're all focused on their brother? So instead of dwelling on it, we just ignored it. It was one way that we were able to kind of heal. And we ignored it for months and then years and then decades. And then my mom and dad sat in the first pew of a church and they saw their boy, John, walk onto an altar, meet the girl of his dreams, this beautiful gal named Elizabeth Grace, who walked out to meet me. And they realized, for them, sitting in the first row of church, oh my gosh, this thing we've never talked about is actually worthy of celebrating. Mm-hmm. And so they started writing the book the following week. It took them just a couple months to write the entire thing. They printed 100 copies. They've subsequently sold over 70,000.
Wow.
Which, you know, out of a garage for a man with Parkinson's and a woman whose primary job it was to take care of kids as a homemaker, that's an incredibly large number. But I think God's hand has been in it.
Now, your mom's intriguing to me, and I know to our listeners as well. Tell me a little bit about your mom. She's, you know, such a powerful and important figure in your story, and I'd love to know a little bit more about her.
Yeah, so the cool thing about folks who really know their faith and their Christianity is most people who don't think that Christianity is a very masculine faith. And yet, if you really know Scripture, man, you realize many, many, many of the real participants are female, and they are bold, and they are strong. And I had a walking, living example as a child. I have one today as a man. I mean, my mom remains steadfast. She's faithful. She's a wonderful steward. She's a beautiful homemaker. She's taking care of my dad. Like I said, who's got Parkinson's, so she's a beautiful spouse. She's remarkable. Mm-hmm. She was a tough mom, though, tough love. I mean, nothing in our home was ever easy, taking care of six kids and everything else that you got to do when you're a homemaker. One of my favorite stories of mom, though, was when I was in the hospital, Chris, I'm laying there dying. Literally, you know, I have no skin. I am dying in this hospital bed. My mom walks in, comes directly over to me. There is no fear in her eyes. She takes my right hand in hers, pats my bald head, and she says, "I love you." I get emotional thinking about it. I love you. And then I say to her, "Mama, knock it off with the love. Knock it off with the love. Am I going to die?" And I assumed that my mother's response was going to be, "Baby, you are fine. What are you talking about, death?" I wanted hope, and instead this wonderful biblical steward gave me truth, which I think the marketplace and families and businesses and politics are starved for, truth. She held my hand a little bit more firmly, patted my bald head, and she says to me, "Baby, do you want to die? It's your choice. It's not mine." And I responded, "Mom, I do not want to die. I want to survive." And her response back was, "Good, baby, good. Then look at me. Take the hand of God. You walk the journey with him, but honey, you fight like you have never fought before." And on January the 17th, a long time ago, 1987, a 9-year-old boy, flanked by his mom and then his dad, made a covenant to fight on. And Chris, we had no idea what tomorrow might look like, or the following day, or weeks and months in hospital. All we knew is, man, the fight was on today, and it was going to be on tomorrow if we were lucky enough to make it.
Mm. That moment, obviously, it's very, you know, grafted into your mind and your memory. How did her response at that moment to your accident shape how you have viewed what happened and what you've done moving forward? I mean, you've obviously kept that same spirit for a long time now, apart from your mom. So obviously something was embedded inside your spirit. How has that moment shaped you?
Yeah, another great question. So before that moment, before those words, and before the decision to fight on, candidly, man, I wanted to die for so many reasons. I'm 9 years old. I just burnt down my mom and dad's house, so I'm dreading their wrath. I'm like the prodigal son. I've run away, but not only did I ruin the fortune, I spent it all. I burnt it down. It's almost worse. I burnt it down for everybody. And then I'm looking at my body, which is charred and mangled, and it's a mess, and I'm in pain physically, and the weight of it all was overwhelming. So as a child, I wanted out. When she came in with that bold question and really put it back in front of me, do you want to die? All those thoughts and all that emotion kind of came directly in front of me, and I had to make a true, honest decision, yes or no. Mm-hmm. Left or right, you know, life or death. This is scriptural stuff. Your choice, not mine. It's called free will. And I said, Mom, I don't want to die. And ever after that moment, I've never once wanted to die. I've never once second-guessed, gosh, would it be better dead or not? We made a choice that morning, a faithful choice, and we decided to fight on toward life. And it's a choice we make today. It's not always an easy choice, whether you're talking about how you're doing physically or financially, if you're struggling over there, or relationally. I mean, sometimes we struggle choosing to get out of bed and get after life.
Yeah.
So I challenge your listeners, don't confuse being out of bed with being awake, and don't confuse having breath in your lungs with being alive. I just encourage them to make a real commitment and decision on the front side of every day to choose to truly live. And my mom challenged me to do it as a child. It's a challenge I accepted and have continued to try to live out each day of my life since.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship with our special guest, John O'Leary. We'll continue with John's story in a moment, but first we'd like to remind you that we not only want to hear your questions, but also your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship and our special guest, John O'Leary. Here's Chris Brown.
Now, in your book, you outline 7 key choices that everyone can make in order to leave indifferent accidental living behind and lead a radically inspired life. Out of those 7 key choices to living an inspired life, is there one of the choices that's more important or more challenging than the rest?
So it's a little bit like asking you to tell me which one of your kids is your favorite. But it gets a little bit awkward here in a moment, and we'll go into the corners today together. I'll do it if you like. I think all 7 choices matter. Mm-hmm. And I think if the first one is not lived out, the other 6 fall apart. Mm-hmm. And the first one, which is not sexy, it's not going to sound pretty, and that's not going to be fun to live into, but it's about accountability.
Yeah.
It's about owning your life. It's about owning your actions, owning your attitude, owning your life, looking backward, looking forward, starting right now. If we can't do this piece, all the other pretty stories and all the other narrative and all the other advice that follows is hollow. So the very first step is to realize the gift of free will and our play within it. Taking my mom as just another example. When I was burned that first day, she challenged me not to die, you know. But when I endured 5 months in hospital, Chris, we eventually got to go home as a family. She made my favorite dinner. The story shows up in the book. And we're sitting around the dinner table. It's been a long time since we've been together in this house. The house burnt down. They've rebuilt it. Little John has been out for the entire time. He's now back. The golden retriever's in the corner hoping for scraps to fall. Mom and dad are on the heads of the table, and 6 kids are flanking them. It's a party. I mean, it is a real celebration. The food is in front of all of us. We say our grace, and now it's time to eat. And the only problem that night is I don't have hands. Your listeners may not know, but my fingers have all been amputated. So I'm looking at this food. It looks good. The problem is I can't eat it. So my favorite sister, and I don't mind saying that I got 4, but this one is just so sweet. Mm. Her name is Amy. She grabs my fork. She picks up some Aug Rotten potatoes, starts bringing that cheesy goodness over to my mouth. And right before it enters into my mouth, my mom to my right kind of barks out, "Amy, if John is hungry, he'll feed himself. You put that fork down."
Wow.
And so Amy drops the fork. I look at my mom thinking, what is this old lady doing? She's ruining it for everybody.
Yeah.
And she did. I mean, she ruined dinner that night. Mm. What was a celebration, and rightly should have been, became mourning. I mean, I cried. Yeah. I'll cry again thinking about it. It ruined the night. And yet by the end of the night, although the plate had been flipped over a couple times, eventually a little boy had his hands kind of pushed together. He picked up that fork. He awkwardly made it all the way to the mouth. He took a couple bites, looking angrily at his mom. She ruined dinner. But in no small way, that night she taught me how to eat again, which let me eat breakfast the following morning and eat breakfast and lunch and dinner every morning and afternoon and evening since. She changed my life one more time with the bold question, if he's hungry, let him feed himself.
Wow, John. You've just inspired a lot of folks. And, you know, many of you guys call in and you talk about your financial situation or a relational situation, and you're there right now. You're there. You're at the table. You're in the middle of that challenge, and you feel like everything's flopping around. The silverware won't behave. The
yes.
plate won't behave. Nothing's working. And I pray that this is an inspiration to you. I pray that's an encouragement to you, because John now is not free of struggles, but he had to go through that to be able to experience the victory that he's experiencing now. And I just pray that this is an encouragement to you. You know, John, we talk a lot. I talk to a lot of people each week on this show who are struggling, and they get overwhelmed by a sense of despair because of maybe it's finances or relationship struggles or whatever. Your book has a real message of hope and inspiration, and we've heard a little bit of that today. Do you feel that now, more than ever, people need this message?
So, Chris, if your listeners tune into the mainstream news and just listen what's happening in the Middle East and listen what's happening politically and listen what's happening in the economy and in the markets and in China, and they're testing nuclear weapons in North Korea. I mean, it is a marketplace of negativity, and it's a mess, and it's fear-riddled. Mm. I think we need to bring faith and hope and love and possibility back into the marketplace that is screaming and starved for it. So, yeah, I don't think we've never seen dark days like this. I think that the dark days are always upon us. Every generation thinks they got it hard. We do have it hard, but no harder than they did when they were fighting the Vietnam conflict or World War II or World War I or the Civil War before that. I mean, it's always hard. Yeah. So how do we bring light back into the situation? I think first we got to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's not all doom and gloom, man. So we got to own our piece in it. One by one, we get to push back the waves of negativity and remind the marketplace, starting with the marketplace around the dinner table, that there is reason for hope and there is reason for dancing and rejoicing. So let's live it out at home first, and let's bring it back into the business, and let's bring it back into the stores, and let's knock down those dominoes and show the other side of the coin.
Guys, stewardship community, don't forget to pick up this new book. This book will absolutely, we just hinted at it. We just looked at it for just a second. We've just maybe scratched the surface of it, and I can't encourage you enough. Anywhere that books are sold, of course, you can go to stewardship.com. We'll have a link there for you, but I know that this will encourage you. And you guys know, anytime that I have a friend or I know of anybody who will encourage you and inspire you, I want to make sure that I introduce you to them. And I really want to encourage you to go to the website, because I want you to see some videos of John teaching. I want you to see some of the images that are attached to the story. I want you to really feel what happened and the courage that he radiates in his life. So the book title is On Fire, 7 Choices to Ignite a Radically Inspired Life. John, thank you so much for making yourself available today and for sharing with us your heart and inspiring us and encouraging us, and we really appreciate your time.
Chris Brown, you're the man, and I love what you're doing with stewardship, and keep teaching.
Well, folks, the title of that book again is On Fire, 7 Choices to Ignite a Radically Inspired Life, and you can pick that up, obviously, at stewardship.com. We'll provide a link there, and of course, that book is everywhere where books are sold. And I also want you to know about John O'Leary's website, johnolearyinspires.com, because I really want you to see the pictures. He's got pictures of his recovery process. He's got pictures of the burns. And I want you to really feel this story. So when you go to read the book, you just really have some images so you can really get the full feel for it. Okay, so check it out again, stewardship.com. We'll provide a link rapper On Fire, Seven Choices to Ignite a Radically Inspired Life. And of course, while you're there, I really want to remind you about that $99 deal that we have. We've lumped together Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey ebook together using the code Chris Brown with no spaces. So be sure to check that out as well. Thank you so much for listening in today. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.